There we go. This time I remembered to start recording. All right, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. You know, all of us know what holiday tomorrow is, don't we? It's Thanksgiving. It's the fourth Thursday of every November, a day that we as a nation have chosen to come together as fans, friends, and families, and to set apart as a time to thank God for the blessings that He's given us. Now, unfortunately, many people just see it as a time to get together, eat turkey, ham, watch a football game, and get into arguments over dinner. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of arguments this year, aren't there? After such a contested election. But you know, the holiday of Thanksgiving was instituted for a reason. It was to give us one time of the year where we are expected to think about what we are thankful for. But what is thankfulness? What is gratefulness? What does that mean? And is Thanksgiving the only time that we should worry about being thankful and grateful? Well, of course not. All of us would agree that we should be grateful and thankful all of the time. But it's rather hard to do that, isn't it? Today, I want to look at an incident that occurred during Jesus' ministry here on earth where we see the difference between gratefulness and thankfulness and what it looks like to be thankful so that we can try to have it in our lives more than we currently do. You know, we're often grateful, but how often are we thankful? And as we get into this, you'll see what I mean by that. So we're going to look at Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And most of you are probably familiar with this story. It's the story of the 10 lepers. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And it's speaking of Jesus. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, as we look at these verses, we see some interesting things, at least I do. And the first thing we see is the problem. The problem that is presented to Jesus. You see, Jesus, it says he's traveling to Jerusalem and he's going through Samaria and Galilee. Now, Galilee was above Samaria, so he's coming down through Galilee and then through Samaria. I'm guessing he's in Samaria at this point because it says at least one of the lepers was a Samaritan. We don't know for certain because all it says is when he entered into a certain village. It doesn't tell us the name of the village or where it was. We don't know. But it does seem pretty obvious that the village that he was entering into knew who Jesus was and what he could do. And the reason I say that is because when the 10 lepers saw him, they cried out, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy." Or, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, if they didn't know who he was, they wouldn't have known his name, and they wouldn't have called him Master, would they? So it seems readily evident that they knew exactly what they were asking for when they said, "Have mercy on us." They weren't just asking him for a couple of pennies, as a beggar is oft to do. Rather, they knew who he was. They knew that he was one who did miracles, one that healed the sick, that made the lame to walk, that made the blind to see, that made the deaf to hear. And so they were asking Jesus to have mercy on them, to heal them. Now, it says that they stood afar off and lifted up their voices. They didn't come close to him. They didn't approach him like a normal person would. And there's a reason for that. If you go back and you look in the Old Testament, God gives the Jews some very specific rules regarding how to deal with leprosy. And there were many of them, they weren't allowed to live in the city. They weren't allowed to live in the villages. They had to live outside, in a camp outside. And the Old Testament even prescribes a specific distance that they had to stay from anybody that didn't have leprosy. And whenever someone would come close, start approaching them or get close to them, they would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean," so that everyone would know they had leprosy and stay away. Now, do you think that made things very difficult for these 10 men? I would think so. No way they could hold a job, is there? I mean, if they can't even go into the town, if they can't get within a couple hundred feet of anybody, they're not holding a job down. They're not going to be able to make a living. Their families would have to bring them stuff. They would have to bring it outside the camp and then just set it down and walk away, and then they could come get the clothes and the food that their family left for them. They couldn't even go to the grocery store, well, the market, you know. They couldn't even go shopping. They weren't allowed near people. And so when they were asking him to have mercy on them, they were desperate. They needed help. And leprosy was a rather debilitating disease. Most of the time, leprosy killed the nerves in your body, so you didn't feel anything. And a lot of times lepers would fall asleep, their hand might fall into the fire while they're sleeping, and they'd never wake up, and they'd wake up and their hand was gone, because they couldn't feel anymore. And as you can imagine, lepers tended to be very disfigured and scarred. So not only were they unclean with leprosy, they were kind of scary to look at. And so they're separated and they're begging God, Jesus Christ, for mercy. They knew who he was. They knew that he could do miracles. They knew that he healed the sick. And it's interesting, they didn't offer to pay him or anything like that because they knew they had nothing. They just begged him for mercy. And then in verse 14, we see the solution that Jesus gave them. It says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests." And that's the solution. Go show yourselves to the priests. Well, what? What kind of answer is that? Well, also in the Old Testament, not only does it have a whole bunch of rules regarding how lepers must live and they got to stay a certain part away, but also the Old Testament tells us a bunch of rules about what to do if you have leprosy. And then one day you wake up and you realize, I think my leprosy's gone. I think I'm good. I'm clean. And what you would have to do was go to the priest. And the Old Testament gives the priests a list of things to look for to determine whether or not the leprosy was healed and whether or not that person could rejoin society. And so when Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests, it meant a lot. In that society, he was basically telling them, go show yourself to the priest so that you can rejoin society. Which is interesting. You know, to us it seems like a weird thing to do. When we get sick, we don't make an appointment with the pastor to get a prescription to take to the pharmacist. But in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones who decided if you were clean or not, especially when it came to leprosy. You know, when a child gets sick at school, a lot of schools have rules that say if your child has a temperature above this, then he's not allowed to come to school, and he can't come back to school until he's been free of this symptom, and this symptom for at least this amount of time. Why do they do that? Why do the schools do that? Why do they have those rules? Well, they're trying to keep a sick child from getting all the other children sick, right? And that's the same reason that God gave these laws regarding leprosy to the children of Israel. so that it would prevent the lepers from spreading leprosy throughout the whole city and instead contain it to the leper colony. And so the priests were the people that had the final say in whether or not your leprosy was clean. Because let me tell you, if you were a leper, wouldn't you be very wanting to be clean? Wouldn't you want that leprosy to go away so you could go back into town? And when you want something that bad, isn't it sometimes easy to, not even on purpose, I'm not saying they're lying, but to mistake, look, oh, I'm clean, when you're really not? Because that's what you really want. It's the desire of your heart. You want to be clean. You don't want that leprosy anymore because that leprosy has taken you away from your family. It's made you completely worthless and unable to take care of yourself. And so, of course, you're going to want to be clean. And so when you think you're clean, you're going to want to go back to the city as soon as possible, right? And you might accidentally miss something, miss the fact that, oh, you still have leprosy. And so the priest was that authority that God put into place in this situation to say, no, I'm sorry, but you still got it. You still have to stay out. Or, you're right, you are clean. You can go back to the city now. You can rejoin your family. You can reintegrate into society. And so Jesus just tells them, he doesn't tell them you're healed. He doesn't tell them your leprosy is gone. He just says, go show yourselves to the priests. And we know that they didn't instantly get healed because it doesn't say they looked down, saw they were clean, and then went to the priest. It says, and as they went, they were cleansed. So they were not cleansed of their leprosy until they obeyed what Jesus had told them and went and started heading to the priest. And as they started walking to the priest, then they looked down and noticed the leprosy was gone. I don't know if it was an instantaneous thing or if it was just kind of a gradual thing where every step they took there was a little bit less leprosy, or if it was just bam, suddenly it's gone. But it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, let me ask, do you think that when they realized that the leprosy was gone, do you think they were excited? Now, what did Jesus tell them to do? He told them to go show themselves to the priests, right? And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. You trying to say something to me? Oh, okay. All right, sorry. All right, but as they went, they were cleansed. Now, sometimes I think we try to give these nine a little harder time and disparage them more than we really ought to in some ways. Because the truth is, they obeyed. They did what Jesus told them to do. But it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, Jesus didn't heal them at the moment that he spoke to them. He didn't tell them they were healed. He told them to go show themselves to the priest. And for them, with still having their leprosy, to start heading towards the priests shows that all 10 of the lepers had faith. Because if they didn't have faith, they would not have obeyed. You know, if they didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was and could heal them, and that Jesus had told them, if they didn't believe in his power, they would have just said, forget you, old man, I'm going back to the camp. Stop messing with me. Instead, they obeyed. They started heading to the priest. The fact that all 10 of the lepers obeyed Jesus' command shows us that they had the faith. You know, and Jesus, what does he tell that the 10th one who comes back? He tells him, your faith has made you whole. I think that was true of all 10 of them, not just the one. So they obeyed. They did what they had been told to do. But the one went a little above and beyond. He was a little different. It's not that they were horrible, horrible people and ungrateful slobs. No. Do you think that they were grateful? I bet you they were. I bet you all 10 of them were grateful when they realized that they were healed. And 9 of them, I'm sure as soon as they realized, I bet you they picked up their pace a little bit, don't you? They probably ran to the priest so that they could show him that they were clean, that they were no longer lepers. And I guarantee you, they probably felt grateful in their hearts, didn't they? But what set them apart from this one was he was grateful, but rather than just feeling grateful, he stopped, went back, and showed his gratefulness through thankfulness. He thanked Jesus for what he had done. It says he turned around and glorified God. He went above and beyond what he was told to do. You know, let me ask you, would you have turned around? I don't know that I would have, to be honest. I would like to believe that I would have, wouldn't you? I'd like to say, well, of course I'd have turned back. I would have gone and thanked him. Of course I would have, because I'm a good person. But the truth is, none of us are as grateful and thankful as we should be, are we? And even when we are grateful, we often don't show it. And this one, he went back and he thanked God. He thanked Jesus for what he had done, and it says, and he glorified God. Now, I still believe that those other 9 had faith, and that faith made them whole. But the one was thankful, and he showed it with his actions. And think about this. If he had not gone back, now, was Jesus alone this whole time when they had approached him, do you think? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that there was a crowd. But where was there not a crowd where Jesus was? And even if there wasn't a crowd, who else was with Jesus? The 12 disciples, right? And so when those 10 men went and headed to the priest, the people that were with him never saw them healed. But when that one man came back to thank Jesus for what he had done, then everyone around got to see, wow, he healed them. And that brought glory to God, didn't it? When we as Christians are thankful to God and to others, we are a witness to the world of our faith, our Savior, and our salvation. That one leper was a witness to all the people around that Jesus indeed was the Son of God, and he healed him. We often think of gratefulness and thankfulness as an attitude that we have. And that's true, isn't it? You can have a grateful attitude, but do you show it? You know, is anger an emotion, an attitude? Well, yeah. But when I'm angry, I have 2 choices, right? I can either use that anger now to accomplish something, whether negative or good. You know, anger sometimes can be used for good or sometimes used for bad. It's energy that you get about something that's wrong. A good use of anger would be to use that to fix the problem that caused the anger and to make everything right. But a bad one would just blow up and yell at people or punch someone. Or you can just kind of hide your anger. How many people hide their anger? Well, we do it all the time, don't we? If we didn't hide our anger, well, bad things might happen. But often we hide our gratefulness as well. Now, I don't think we're hiding our gratefulness for the same reasons we hide our anger. But we still often hide it, and no one realizes that we're grateful, even when we are. So we need to be careful that when we do feel grateful, that we act on it, that we show that we thank people, that we show them our thankfulness and our gratefulness. as this one leper did, and the other nine did not. He chose to return to the person, to Jesus Christ, and show him that he was thankful and grateful for what he had done. And while all 10 of them were healed, I think that one got a blessing that none of the rest got, don't you? Because those other 9 lepers, do you think they ever saw Jesus again? Do you think they ever thought about what amazing things he had done for them and wished, you know, I wished I could have told him that I was glad, I was glad that he did that for me? Has there ever been someone that happens to, you know, someone that you've lost or someone that you never see again, and you just think back and say, you know, I really wish I had told them this, or I told them that, told them that I was thankful for them, or that I loved them, that I appreciated them? That one leper, that one man, he never had to think that about Jesus. He never had to think, man, I sure wish I had told him thank you, because he did. And like I said, he was a witness to all those around Jesus of what he did. You know, we as a country have chosen tomorrow, the fourth day of July, of November, the fourth Thursday of November, to be the day in which we are thankful. And we should be. We should use tomorrow as a day to be thankful, to think about all of the things that God has done for us, about all the things that we're grateful for, about all the things that others have done for us that we are grateful and thankful for, and make sure to be grateful and thankful for them instead of just getting so focused on baking a good turkey or whipping up the best mashed potatoes and watching all the football games. Those are fun, but those aren't the most important part of tomorrow. But tomorrow's not the only day that we need to be thankful. We should be doing it all year round. You know, I'm going to tell you, I know I don't always tell people thank you and show them my gratefulness like I should. Because I get embarrassed when people do it to me, so I don't like doing it to other people. And that's a pretty sad excuse, isn't it? And that's something I need to work on. But you know what? Every single one of us needs to work on being more thankful and more grateful, don't we? It's a lot easier to complain and nitpick. It's far harder to tell people, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing here. And to be thankful to God for all the blessings he's given us instead of just being complaining about all the troubles that we, oh, look at that snow. Oh, man, I hate snow. Well, be thankful that we had such a beautiful summer this year. So let's act on this gratefulness by giving thanks and glory to God. And I want to close by singing a song. If anybody knows it, you can join me. It's not in our hymn book, but it's Give Thanks.